Tonight we're going to focus on one of the deeper inner challenges that comes along with tefillah, which although it is very challenging, also provides a great opportunity for meaning and growth. We all know that there are challenges when it comes to tefillah in terms of understanding the words and kavana, mental acuity, focus. But perhaps this challenge of not being focused during davening actually relates to a deeper challenge as part of our experience of tefillah. And that is that perhaps our difficulty staying focused is, in a certain sense, in a way, actually, it's a strategy. It's an internal reaction that we have to some discomfort. It's a defense mechanism. And that is that lehispalel is the word to judge in the reflexive, to reflect on ourselves, to introspect. So lehispalel means to think about ourselves. And that means to be comfortable with ourselves. So perhaps part of the challenge of tefillah is that we have this defense mechanism that we're putting up, that we've got to be multitasking and distracted and not focused, because maybe we're just not comfortable being with ourselves. The Halakha Dr. Twersky, in one of his books, writes about how early in his career as a psychiatrist outside of Pittsburgh, running a crazy schedule, dealing with very difficult patients and an incredible caseload. At one point, he was kemat, completely burnt out. So someone suggested him, you should take a break, and you should go to the hot springs of Arkansas. Great idea, he thought. So he writes how he took this trip to the hot springs. He gets there to the spa. There's a little, kind of like a small room, imagine like a small office, which is appointed with a special bath with spring water, hot spring water, and the attendant welcomes him and settles him in, gets him a towel and the whole thing, and then the attendant says to him, "Sir, I'll be back in 25 minutes. If you need anything, just ring the bell." So Dr. Twersky settles in. Ah, I'm a chaya. This is my break. This is my relaxation. Awesome. After about 10 minutes, all right, done, ready to go. So he buzzes the buzzer, he phones the fellow, and the man comes, he says, excuse me, yes, can I help you? And Dr. Twersky says, I'm done, I'm ready to go. And the attendant says, no, you don't understand. You have to sit for 25 minutes. That's the first step in the treatment, in the process. You have to stay. And Dr. Twersky is like, no, I'm done. The man says, no, you are not done. You need to stay for 25 minutes. So he heads back into the bath and he describes how the remainder of the time was mamish gehenim. He could not stand it. He couldn't take it. And was trying to figure out why. And he writes that he realized at that moment that he was simply uncomfortable sitting alone by himself with himself. He was struggling to such an extent with self-esteem that he was distracting his inner self, his world, with taking care of others and a busy schedule and work and everything piling, but not being comfortable with himself. Perhaps there's a part of us, when we shut out the entire rest of the world, when we put away our cell phone, when we have a few minutes to daven and self-reflect, that challenges us to ask the question, am I comfortable with myself? And more importantly, when we do that self-reflection, how do we feel about ourselves? Perhaps part of the reason that we struggle with davening is because we don't have a positive feeling about ourselves. Because we imagine, could the Ribbono Shel Olam really be paying attention to me? After all of the things that I've done, all of my mistakes, all of my past that's littered with failures and shortcomings, could he really be interested in talking to me? So we question ourselves. We judge ourselves to the point that we say we're not worthy. We know that tefillah is an exercise in emunah, But not only do we need to have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need to have emunah in ourselves. And that's one of the challenges here. Rav Moshe Weinberger, Shlitza, my Rebbe once pointed out years ago, he said, if you ask anybody who's struggling with davening, and I don't want to speak to any to Nashim Tzidkonios in this group, but I can tell you, I've struggled with davening so many times. It's Maisim B'chol Yom, we all know that. If you were to ask me or any of us, look around this virtual room, do we not believe in God? How many people who struggle with davening, if you ask them after davening, do you not believe in God? Of course we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course we believe. But what is it that's lacking? We don't believe in ourselves. We don't believe that we are worthy of the Ribbono Shel'Olam's attention. So sitting there thinking, I'm talking to the Ribbono Shel'Olam, but he's not interested in listening to me, it makes me very uncomfortable. Because I think so little of myself. You know, this idea of thinking little of ourselves, it impedes our davening. And that, says the Hilig Baradichever, is what happened to Noach. Chazal and our sages, they discuss that Noach, he had a lot of potential. Pasuk says, was Ish Tzadik Tamim, was amazing. And yet, even though he was an Ish Tzadik, but unfortunately, he didn't daven for the generation. Why not? So Kedushas Levi says, you know why he didn't daven? Because Rashi says, Miktane Amona Hoya. He was from the small of faith. Doesn't mean he didn't have a lot of faith in the Ribbono Shel'Olam. Oh, he knew the Ribbono Shel'Olam was going to bring a flood. He knew that. But he was Miktane Amona, he didn't believe in himself. He didn't believe that his tefillos mattered, that they could make an impact, that they could make a difference. So why bother? So he didn't daven. Because he didn't believe in himself. When we sit down to daven, if we think, who am I? The Ribbono Shel'Olam is not listening because I'm not worthy. So we have this really negative feeling, this feeling of atzvus, of sadness, almost a depressive sense of like, why? And it makes us feel even worse. So, you know, maybe sometimes we do. We create a diversion. We start checking our phone. We daven quickly, whatever. But it's because we're not in a good place. So perhaps what we need to realize is that davening and our attitude, our stance, our frame of davening, it's going to be crucial for the entire experience. If our feeling about davening is negative, is down, then that's one type of approach. And that's not going to be a very successful type of tefillah. But perhaps a different approach to tefillah is an experience of simcha, of joy, of understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about me, about you, that he is invested in us, he wants to listen, he wants to have a relationship, and he just wants a few quiet minutes with us. Davening in a place of simcha is feeling comfortable with that relationship, just me and the Ribbono Shel Olam, just the two of us. So in a certain sense, tefillah actually becomes a barometer of how I am internally, spiritually, emotionally. Am I comfortable with my role in the world, with my role in my life, with who I am? Because who I am at the end of the day is a Yetzir Kapov HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm a spark of godliness. If I'm very comfortable, then I can have that quiet time, just us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just me and him. And that's why perhaps there's such an emphasis on simcha in tefillah, on shira in tefillah, on song and happiness. The Rabbi Nachman in the Sicha Saran in Ayin Dalet says that we need to make sure shetzrichin shetia tefillah besimcha gedola. Our tefillah needs to be besimcha gedola, with great joy, with a sense of feeling good about ourselves, comfortable in our own skin. Amazing story that the Heilige Mashkiach, Rav Shlomo Volbe, who was one of the greatest ethical and moral guides, spiritual mentors of the 20th century, he tells a Maisa about his Rebbe, Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz of Mir, the great Mashkiach of Mir. He's describing the importance of this idea of davening from a place of simcha, of realizing that we have personal quiet time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Bo Rikola Ulamim, and what a source of joy and chizuk that is. So he says that Rabbi Yerucham, he had an interesting practice. Apparently Rabbi Yerucham used to daven in the yeshiva. He used to daven mincha in the yeshiva in the wintertime. But in the summertime, he arrived in the yeshiva after mincha. In the wintertime, you know, the days are very short, so they would daven mincha in the yeshiva at mincha gedola, a half hour after chatzos. So let's say, whatever, 12:30, 1 o'clock. But in the summertime, when the days are longer, they used to daven late in the afternoon before shkia, before sunset. So the Talmidim were curious. Why is it that Rabbi Yerucham showed up for Musar Seder after mincha? He showed up after mincha in the summertime. He didn't daven mincha with them. And people would ask him, and Rabbi Yerucham, he kept avoiding the issue and didn't want to talk about it. But there was one makur of one close disciple of Rabbi Yerucham. And I don't know if Rav Volpe was talking about himself. He just says there was one close disciple who really pushed Rabbi Yerucham. And Yerucham said to him, he said, "Do you not understand? Davening, it's so beautiful. It's so joyous. It's so important that I can't wait a whole day to daven. I can't go 12 hours without davening. About davening, the Nefesh HaChaim says it's lis aneg al Hashem b'tevos ha'tfilah, to enjoy spending time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the words of davening." So Rabbi Yerucham thinks, so he says, "You think I can go 12 hours without davening? In the wintertime, when we daven mincha early, okay. But in the summertime, it would just be too long. I would miss it too much. So I daven early. I don't want to daven with the guys in the yeshiva. Could you imagine?" He said, "L'hisaneg al Hashem. I'm going to miss l'hisaneg al Hashem in this world." Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And Lahavdil, we can understand it like the Kuzari says, that the three tefillos are like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I don't know about many of you, Baruch Hashem, I'm very makbid. I never miss breakfast, lunch, or dinner. I have also some snacks. So could you imagine, kiviyochol Lahavdil, a person who's very careful about missing, if somebody was running late for lunch, you would say, "Nah, I'll wait till dinner." No! If I'm running late for lunch, I make sure I got a chop of lunch. Because I enjoy it. So one time, Rav Volpe says that Rabbi Yerucham said to this same Talmud, he said to him, "No, do you enjoy davening? You enjoy davening?" So the student, he said to Rabbi Yerucham, he said, "I don't know, I mean, I daven, we're obligated to daven. It says in Shulchan Aruch, no?" So Rabbi Yerucham, he says, "It's obvious, that's a simon that you have yet to really taste the experience of davening. Because davening is supposed to be an experience of simcha, of being happy to just be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu." There was a really interesting fellow. He grew up in a Chabad milieu, and then he became an interesting guy in the Jewish renewal scene. His name is Rabbi Zalman Schachter Shalomi. So when he was younger, when he was in Chabad, so in Chabad, they have mashpiim, they have senior people who influence the younger fellows. So there was a Chabad mashpia, Rabbi Yisrael Jacobson, who Zalman Schachter Shalomi looked up to. And one day, Zalman says he was davening in the yeshiva, and he was focused, and he was intense, and he was shuckling, and the mashpia just walked by him and tapped him on the shoulder, Rabbi Yisrael, and he said to him, "Nu," in Yiddish, he said to him, "Did you ever try smiling when you daven? Did you ever think that you should smile?" So why is davening such a source of simcha? Why is davening associated with simcha? Because when I realize that I have a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is there anything more uplifting than that? Is there any greater meaning? That's where we find our self-worth. If you read Dr. Tversky's works, he once said that all 60 of his books, and later it became 80, they're all different books, but they're the same story. It's the story of finding self-esteem. Where do we find self-esteem? In our spirituality, in our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So through davening, we nurture our self-esteem. We reinforce our self-esteem. It's a gift. We come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we say, "Elokeinu, the God of our forefathers, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. You know, I might not be so worthy, but you know what? I come in the merit of my forefathers. We say, Ani Avdecha ben Amasecha. It strengthens us if we question ourselves. Don't worry, we can still talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because my grandmother did. Because my parents did. My teachers did. Davening is that place where we strengthen our inner selves, our belief in ourselves, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it's a place, a space of great simcha. Perhaps that's why the Makom HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, is a place which Shlomo HaMelech says is the heart of tefillah for the world. Beisi Beis Tefillah Yikari L'Chol Amim. It's also Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. The simcha of standing before our God, of standing in the Beis HaMikdash, it's Hainu Hach. When you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you're in a makom, you're koveya makom letfiloso. You face Yerushalayim, your HaKodesh. When you daven, you face the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash is that space in this world where heaven and earth touch, where we just feel connected. When we offer a karban, many karbanos, most karbanos, when we do the Nisa Chayayim, we pour the wine, or other times, we have a shira, we sing. Because when we have that great gift of being b'mechitzas shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's just us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we feel so good. So we now have to realize, wait a minute, when we're davening, are we feeling good about this experience or not? If we're not, then that means we need to take a step back and figure out what's going on. You know, one way of thinking about this, here's a barometer for simcha. It's true in general, and it's certainly true for tefillah. Ask yourself one question. All I need to ask myself is, would I rather be somewhere else right now? If I'm standing in shul, if I'm holding my sitter, if I'm looking at the Ribbono Shel Olam and I'm thinking, you know, I'd really rather be somewhere else right now. So then that's not tefillah shel simcha. That's an escape. It's not feeling comfortable with who I am and where I am. It's a simon that I need to really work on this. But if I'm thinking to myself, ah, there's nowhere else I'd rather be. I love you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I love spending the time with you. I love that you care to listen to me. How beautiful is that? The Gemara says in Brachos that we daven, we get up to daven, mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. So Tosfos there comments, he says, that's why we start with Psuki de Zimra and Ashrei. What does the word Ashrei mean? Fortunate, happy. Ashrei, how awesome this is. And then we say Shmon Esrei. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu. If we don't feel like Ashreinu during davening, then there's a problem. Now, of course, sometimes in davening, like the Gemara says, that we stand avda kamei d'morei, we stand like servants before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our Adon. Sometimes we feel broken. Sometimes we feel like we need to beg and plead. Of course, that's true. But even that, it's out of a sense of feeling like we belong. We have a makom, kovei makom l'tfilaso. But the overwhelming feeling is much more about coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not pleading as beggars, but as proud confidants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Close in our relationship, feeling good about ourselves. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu. There was a Rav, he's known as the Bendina Rav, Rav Henoch Levin. So he was once davening in the corner of the shul, and somebody was listening to him. When he stood up to daven, he leaned over to the wall. He kind of turned his head down, and he heard him muttering his Yiddish, Ribbono Shel Olam, I love you so much. I love you so much. When I was younger, when I was a boy in Kiryat Yavne, one of the great inspirational personalities in the yeshiva was Dayan Be'eri. Great Talmud Chacham, he was also a Baal Tefillah. And sometimes he would lead a tish and he would teach us old nigunim, European nigunim. I still remember one, it was the Yiddish words, Ich will zu dir adudel singen. I want to sing to you. The idea that we are happy in davening. Ivdu es Hashem besimcha. What's that talking about? What is that pasuk referring to in Tehillim? Says the Medrash, Amar Reb Ivo, Kishata mispalel ye libcha sameach. When you daven, you should feel happy. Kavana, we talked last time about kavana, about intention, about focus. But the truth is, the phrase is kavanas halev. Kavana is what is our focus mentally. Halev is how we're feeling emotionally. Davening is now both an opportunity to create simcha, and it's a barometer for how much simcha we're feeling, for what our relationship is like. It's both sides of the coin. It's an opportunity to nurture our self-esteem, our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our sense of belonging and meaning, but it's also a reflective time. It's lehispalel. Says Mesillas Yesharim in the 19th chapter that davening, it's all about this experience of being besimcha. How are we feeling? How are we experiencing this moment of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So it turns out that our opportunity is to lean into the davening. It's to realize that davening is itself the answer to feeling like we don't belong. Adrabba, Korov Hashem l'chol korov l'chol asher yikru b'emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so close to us. The source of our feeling good about ourselves. What is it that makes us feel great? Mi goy gadol asher lo Elokim krovim elav. What makes us great? What makes us feel that we're worthy? That we're carved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? B'chol koreinu elav. In the fact that we speak to him. That opportunity for davening should make us feel better about ourselves, stronger, more comfortable. And so hopefully, halavai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bless us, and we need to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for siyata d'shmaya in this area as well, that we have the simcha shel tefillah. We have the joy. We can realize what a great gift it is to be ashreinu, to be ivdu es Hashem besimcha, to feel that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that affirmation within our lives that we can experience every time that we have tefillah, formally, informally, whether it's hisbodidus, just like a snack during the day, reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through brachas. All of these interactions are meant to build our sense of self and to create that profound sense of inner simcha and value that we can feel halavai in our lives.